The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with Mafia. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. Do we got Brandon in South Carolina? He called back. Good for you, dude. What's happening?
Scott is shake it.
Ooh. Oh, shake it. Ooh. So what's happening, bro?
Yo, man, I got my whole – I'm not kidding you, Scotty. I got my whole house on this Brooklyn Nets team to win the whole thing. I took out a home equity line of credit and 40 Gs, and I got minus – I'm laying plus 140 on this to win the whole thing. Scary hours, bro. What do you think of it?
So you're rolling with the Nets to win the NBA championship. Take it all, the whole deal. Is that what you're telling me you're betting
on?
That's
right, my man. I'm all in.
I don't think it's the worst bet I've ever heard. I mean, I think it's, you know, fair enough. I think it's dangerous to take your last 40 grand and do it. But I would, if that were 40 grand that you had laying around, no problem. It was just money that you could burn and you're a better. I know guys that bet that kind of money on one game. I know guys that bet that kind of money over a season or I've known guys that, you know, have never bet anything like that. But I would say if it was the end of your money, I wouldn't do it. If it was something that wasn't going to affect you in any way, shape, or form, and you could handle losing 40 large, I would do it based on the fact that I think they have a definitive shot at winning it all. There is no doubt that they are dangerous. This is a really good team that, you know, I know you're down in South Carolina. I watch them every night. I'm sure you watch them on TV as much as possible. Who knows how you get to watch them. But all I know is it didn't matter who played. If it was Kyrie, if it was Harden, or if it was Durant, it didn't matter who played because they never played together but a few times. But whenever they played, no matter who it was, if it was Kyrie playing with Joe Harris and Claxton and Jordan and, you know, Shamit and, you know, the whole crew, Brown, Tyler Johnson, it didn't matter. Even when they got late in the season, Harris, I'm telling you, they were a good basketball team that could outscore anybody every night. And they proved it going west and beating all those teams, every one of them. They had a road trip out west where they annihilated all the best teams in the west. And, I mean, they kicked all their asses one by one. And then when they got back together and played finally at the end of the season, it was showtime. Like, they are showtime. It's not the Lakers who are showtime. It's the Nets. This is the high wire act, high scoring, the highest scoring team in the league. They are unstoppable offensively. Although, I will tell you over and over, I've said it a million times, they play no defense, so every night they play, they're in a game with somebody scoring against them because they don't stop anybody. So my druthers would be, my reservations would be based on, I think their defense would be their undoing. If they don't play defense, which they don't, and go figure, they got D'Antoni on that staff. He never coached defense in his life. They say they coach defense, but they don't. He's never coached defense a day in his life. All I know is they don't play D, so I have a hard time believing they're going to win it all not playing defense. The best teams that win titles play defense, and that's just all there is to it. Hold on a second. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench with Mafia on a Thursday night. Anyway, we're talking to Brandon in South Carolina. I think they're dangerous. I think they're going to beat the Celtics. I think they're going to, you know, they obviously at some point are going to have to beat the Sixers and the Bucks. And that's all there is to it. I think the Bucks are going to beat the Heat. I could be wrong, but I think the Bucks are better than the Heat this year. I think the Sixers are going to win that first round against Washington. We were just talking to Chris Russell about it, and he says they're going to give them a game. I don't think so. I think Philly's going to kick their ass. And those teams are the ones they have to worry about, the Nets. If they get by those teams and get to the finals, I think they'll win it all. Because if they can beat those teams, they can beat anybody. And I'm not buying the Lakers are as good as they were last year when they were healthy. I think they're banged up. And like last night, the Warriors gave them fits. One guy, Curry, gave them fits all night long, and Green's defense gave them fits. They beat them by three. I covered both ends of the bet. I had the Lakers to win, and I had five with the Warriors. I covered both ends of it. I think the Nets can beat the Lakers, but I guess, you know, time will tell. They're going to have to prove it. I think the Lakers have a ton of work to do. No one gives them a chance, the Suns, against the Lakers. I give them all kinds of a chance against the Lakers. And we'll see if Spida comes back, if the Jazz are going to be good again, and if Denver is going to be good again in the playoffs. These things we'll start finding out over the next couple of weeks. Good hearing from you, though, bro. I know we have coming up this hour, Michael Williams talking about the PGA Championship. It's Pharrell on the bench.
These days, it's hard to find something you can trust. Your car?
Yeah, right.
Trust takes time. And that's why we're here.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week. We are your trusted source for gaming, odds,
and more.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So did you see, Mafia, that Vegas has tied up that game? The Wild will never live that down. They were up 2-0, and they have given up the lead. Stoney, the captain, scored from Stevenson at 8:39 of the second, and then Brown at 15:19 from Carrier and Holden. And it's all tied up at twos now, so there's 3:40 and change left in the second period at the XL in Minneapolis. And so there's a lot of hockey left there. And you're down 2-0 on the road in a playoff game. You are in big trouble, mister. And they came back and tied that game up. So, I mean, that's unbelievable to begin with. And I think they kind of...
You're in big trouble, mister.
You know what I mean? I think they've stunned the Wild. You're up 2-0 on your home ice. The upset's brewing. You got it all going. The fans are drunk and rowdy and loud, and you got it all. And then you just let it slip through your fingers. I mean, honestly, you got to win that game up 2-0, Mafia. You cannot blow this game. Well, they've already blown the lead, so now it's zeros. I mean, it's a whole new game, and I think they blew it.
Yeah, and the big thing, too, is that what we're seeing is Vegas getting back at this with defense, because Minnesota's only put up 5 shots this period. They've outshot them 19-5. So Minnesota's been in their zone. They've had chances. They're blocking a lot of shots by the Golden Knights, and that's turning into opportunities the other way. They're not making, you know, the goalies work too hard tonight, but they're turning on the other way. You know, if you're not going to give them chances, that Minnesota's kind of just stuck in a rut where they are. I mean, five shots in a whole period, that means seven shots in the first period. Only giving up 12 shots for the game, that's half of what Vegas has put on the other end. That's not good for Minnesota. They got to get more chances if they want to get back into this. Because right now, they're just back on their heels, just trying to play defense.
That was, you know, the first game, 1-0, the Wild won at T-Mobile in Vegas. And then they, obviously, Vegas won 3-1 in game two to even it at once. They go into this game tonight, 1-1 in the series, and then you're down 2-0 on the road. Most teams buckle, and they're in big trouble. They scored again. Vegas takes the lead. Riley Smith, unbelievable. I think that's who had it. I could be wrong. Is that it is Riley Smith. I knew it. I saw 19. I'm like, that's Riley Smith. They take the lead. They were down 2-0, and now they lead it 3-2 with a goal on the doorstep. Smith set up shop. He got a backhander, and Talbot made the save, and it came out with a rebound, and then he went to the forehand and slid it through. The first shot, a backhander hit him in the pads. It popped back out. He went to the forehand side and poked it over the pad. It's 3-2 Vegas. They're back from down two to lead it by a goal at the XL and Mini. Unbelievable. The meltdown by the Wild. It's the same thing we've seen all night in these games. You know, it's so funny, Mafia. I'm going to get them all wrong tonight, all these games. But, you know, the other night I was perfect. The other night I hit every game, and tonight I'm going to get them all wrong, it looks like. I'm glad I got the Penguin game wrong. I thought the Islanders would win the game. Did you think the Islanders would win tonight in their home building?
I did. I thought they would come back and get that win.
And then that's before the game started. You were on the Islanders. Then right. When they tied it, and they were down 3-1 and tied it 3-3, and then down 4-3, tied it 4-4, did you not think then, every time they tied it, that they were going to win it?
I thought they had a great chance to win. I thought it was going to be one of those, you know, drag-out, knockout games, probably go to overtime because they were answering everything. Like I said, it wasn't like Pittsburgh got any breathing room at all. Every time they scored, you know, the Islanders were right back on them, tying it up. And I'm amazed that they didn't add that extra goal to get it back, go overtime again, and, you know, extend it into the really, really scary parts of the game that you always dread, especially for you, with the, you know, what the Islanders have done to Pittsburgh so many times before. The last thing you ever want is overtime. So I'm surprised they didn't get it there.
Well, I mean, you can't deny that every time the Penguins blew the lead, you didn't think they were going to lose the game. I mean,
yeah,
they just,
of course.
You're up 3-1, you got to win the game. Then it's 3-3, then it's 4-3, you blow that lead. Then it's 4-4, you blow that lead. Or then you win 5-4, you get a goal from Tanev. I mean, it's a miracle they won, if you ask me. And then I think it was a miracle that the Panthers gave up 5 goals in the second, and they were down 5-3, and they won. They scored 2 third-period goals and then won in overtime. That is a miracle. And then you can't tell me the Canadians winning on a shorthander with a guy on his knees, Byron, with a goal on his knees, shorthanded, sliding across the ice on his knees like in a French porno, and he scores a goal, a shorthanded goal to win. You can't tell me that you thought that was going to happen. I thought the Islanders, Lightning, and Leafs were all money tonight, and they all lost. And now I'm on the Wild, and you know they're going to lose this game. They're up 2-0, and now they're down 3-2. I won't be surprised they get beat by 2 or 3 goals now.
No, but it's got to be a French winner just because they're, you know, playing Montreal. I mean, come on. But yeah. That one, I'm not surprised that the Maple Leafs lost that game, but I am surprised in how, like you said, the guy pretty much is tripped at the blue line, slides all the way in, and somehow knocks it in. That's the craziest thing, you know, we've seen in a long time, but that's what that series is probably going to be. It's going to be ridiculous goals that you don't expect. I am so surprised about Tampa Bay. I was watching that game. You know, it was 2-0 Florida, and all of a sudden, blink of the eye, it's 2-2. Then all of a sudden, you know, another blink, it's 5-2. And they were steamrolling them. They had all the momentum. I thought, all right, this game's over. I changed. I went to the Islanders of Pittsburgh. I thought there's no way. You know, Florida's dead. That's 3-0. You know, throw dirt on the grave. And then somehow they fight back. And I get the alert on my phone that they win in overtime. I'm like, how'd they even get to overtime the way that Tampa was controlling that? It's amazing that they had that fight. Good for them. you know, it's back against the wall, because if they lost that game down 3-0, you might as well pack your bags already.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And but they got it done. They won. And I'll tell you, as far as, you know, moving forward, you know, in those series, look, it's just this simple. Tomorrow we're going to see these other games played. And we know, you know, on Friday night, you got Caps, Bruins, Canes, Predators, Jets, Oilers, and Avs, Blues. They're all happening. And then these other ones will continue on Saturday. The Penguins, Islanders, you know, I still think you got to bet on the Islanders on Saturday in the afternoon. They're playing at 3 o'clock in their building. They cannot lose both games at home. And then the Lightning, you'd think they'd win a game on their home ice. And then the Leafs, they're now forced to have to win. They have to win on Saturday night. And then if the Wild blow this game, they're going to be forced to have to win, if you ask me, on Saturday. So I just think tonight has been absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. The Panthers had no business winning that game, down 5-3 in the third. After giving up 5 goals, they had no business winning that game. It gives that the resiliency of that bunch to come back and win that game with Hornqvist getting involved on the goal to make it 5-4, and then he assisted on the 5-5 goal. That's huge. Hornqvist came up big for them. There's no doubt about it. And then in overtime, Ryan Lomberg scores. He breaks in. It was a breakaway. He broke in and burned the goalie, Vasilevsky, and that was that. I can't even believe, but that's just crazy. I mean, you got to put that game away if you're Tampa. And the Leafs, they never, ever do anything except lose in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It is so unbelievable to me. All right, so the hockey's been great tonight. We'll keep our eyes on this game. Vegas has the lead over Minnesota going to the third, up 3-2. And it's after two, they lead by a goal. And they're going on a power play, too, by the way, to start the third. When we come back, we'll talk about the PGA Championship and the Forella Maker with Michael Williams from golf. What is it? A DRX? I can never remember the name of it. WRX. And that's coming up. We'll talk about everything going on at Kiowa on the bench.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, so I want to get right into it with Michael Williams of golfwrx.com. We always talk golf with Mike, and we had him on Coast to Coast the other day, and I said that we'd get him on after they start playing at Kiowa, and what a day it was. I have to start, Michael, by asking you, you know, it's funny, I had asked you if you believe in Rory. He was the favorite, and you and I both weren't buying Rory. You know, all these years later, going back to Kiowa and winning, I wasn't buying it, even though he played well at Quail Hollow. And he had a just disastrous day. So did Justin Thomas. And DJ was even worse. I mean, I think they're tied for like 79th, and I think DJ's tied for 98th. I mean, these three studs will be lucky if they make the cut.
Yeah, you know, it's not a good course to have a bad day. You just can't go out there with sort of mediocre, piece-together ball striking and expect to survive on this course. It is an absolute nightmare if you're hitting it like that. Now, Rory, as you said, he really performed well at Quail Hollow, and I think he brought back some good memories. He's had some good success working with the brain doctor, Bob Rotella. But this place, this is something different at Kiowa. It's no place to work it out. By the way, when he was there previously, the course had been softened up. It was in a different time of the year. The wind wasn't blowing as hard. So it was he was a lot different, and the course conditions were a lot different. So I think they are who the scoreboard says they are. DJ, when I'm looking at his swing, I see a guy who's protecting a knee injury, quite honestly. You know, the guy hits a cut, but he was hitting like Bubba Watts and like rainbows out there. And I think that part of his ball flight was about him protecting that left knee. So, look, maybe they can piece it together, get close to the cut. And, you know, once you get to the weekend, anything can happen. But clearly all the action was coming from some other guys that we mentioned when I last was with you. And I'm really happy about where those guys are because we both kind of called it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the course was incredible, as we knew it would be. The wind was a huge factor. You know, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, coming back into the wind is a nightmare. Those two finishing holes are a nightmare. I played the course. I saw all the places I was in trouble on every hole. I don't remember even hitting a fairway on that effing golf course. I saw water I went into. I saw sand I went into. I saw deep bunkers that I went into. They don't even call them bunkers there. All I know is I saw swamps I went into. I saw the ocean that I shank shots into. I mean, that course is a mother forever. I love it, though. I think it makes for great golf. So DeChambeau's, he struggled but finished even. So you can't say he's out of it, right? I mean, he's five back. He's every bit in it. And guys like, how about Lefty, the performance he put on today? Are you buying that he can do it for 3 days?
Maybe three, but not four. Not three more days. Not three. All three of the days we have left. And that's simply just sort of age catching up with him physically. That's my assessment. Look, if there's anybody's game who's out there who's you'd want to have, it's Phil, because you're gonna hit plenty of chip shots. I don't care how good you are this week. You're going to have a wedge in your hand up around the greens a lot. And who in history would you rather have? Maybe only a handful of guys ever, you know, hit it as well or maybe even possibly better than Phil Mickelson around the greens. So this is kind of a perfect place for him and his magic. But just physically to hold up under that pressure, under those that wind, just walking that course. You still got the longest course in major championship history. I don't see it for Lefty, but damn, it's a pleasure to watch him do that thing. You know, he's sort of, like the whole audience is like his grandkids. They just love him, right? Grandpa Phil, man, we love you so much. And he just wants to give him all a scoop of ice cream, right? And it's fun to watch. So enjoy it while you can. But I don't see him up around the leaderboard on Sunday. I hope he proves me wrong, but I just don't see it.
How about Corey Connors, the Canadian? And, you know, the thing is, you know, we know who he is because we follow it. We bet on it. And, you know, Carver High bets on it tons. Cam Stewart bets on it tons. I like picking guys and whatever, and I love golf, and I love talking about it. I love watching it in the majors. And, you know, I watch it even when it's not the majors. You know, I'm always hitting it, playing, and watching it. But this guy, I've seen him do this. I've seen him play well. I think he had top 10s at the Masters, and I think he had a top 10 at the Players. So you can talk all you want about him being some no-name that can't handle it, and that is just not the case. I think he's one of the top guys in the FedEx points. This is a guy, this Connors guy, he's no joke.
No, he isn't a joke. You know, Corey Connors is a perfect example of how good you have to be just to even have a sniff at making a living on the PGA Tour these days. That's something that Tiger did that people don't talk about. He both raised the expectation for how good a champion could be, but he also raised the requirement for how good you have to be just to have a job on this tour. Now, this is a guy right now who's averaging, for the tournament now, he averaged 300 yards. You know, off the tee today. And you know where that puts him in the field? 74th. 300 yards average driving distance into that win. That puts him 74th in the field. He's not the biggest hitter out there. But what he did was he played chess on a checkerboard out there. This guy was just putting it exactly in the position that he needed to be and also hitting his putts. I believe he was third or fourth in strokes gained putting right. And first overall in strokes gained. So, you know, I don't want to bore you with a bunch of statistics or bore myself with a bunch of statistics, but I'll just tell you this. What you said, Corey Connors can flat out hit it. And we were talking about it again the other day that the PGA Championship is one of those guys that produces that special week for guys who are kind of off the radar. Look at David Toms. Look at Jimmy Walker. Look at Rich Beam. There's all kinds of guys who can flat out play, but they find another gear at the PGA Championship. And, you know, this 5-under, hell of a round. Can you hold it together at that level for another 3 days? I don't think so. I don't think that score is out there. I don't see 20-under winning the PGA Championship at Kiawah.
I'll tell you what, I thought his putt off the green at 15 from like 40 feet and then that wedge into 16 and the birdie there were money. My guy that I picked to win it, Victor Hovland, he's playing some good golf. He finds himself two back with Brooks Koepka and, you know, a few others. I was surprised Keegan Bradley, but he's played well and won the PGA and played well in the PGA. The year after he won it, he came back and finished third. So I can't believe how he's playing because he looks like the guy living next door to you. But those names, I love Hovland's game at 23 years old that he's playing in all. It's every week. It's every week this guy's in the top 10.
Yeah, I wish we could roll the tape from when we talked last because the two guys who we both agreed on, like the Terminator, Brooks Koepka, because he seems in this generation to be the guy who finds that extra gear for the major championships every single time he goes out there. And that's right. No matter how his body is feeling. That guy, he is the Terminator. And then we talked about Victor Hovland, again, one of those young guns who has it all. And the only thing that's missing from his game is putting under pressure. He missed that today. He could have had another three or four off of the score if he putted better. And so that's really sort of the only thing that's holding him back. You know, he plays his putter. Like, he reminds me of Vijay Singh, you know, the fact that he's changing up his putter. He's changing his grip. He's fiddling with it. And all that tells me is that he's not comfortable with it. If you're not comfortable with it in a major championship, how are you going to get there? You know, how are you going to get to that winner's circle? And you talk about Keegan Bradley. I saw my cousin from Boston, right, Keegan Bradley. He's just like that twitchy Irish guy who's like, six packs into a carton, and, you know, he's twirling the club and he's blinking and shaking. But I mean, the guy, again, he's got a major championship. He loves the PGA for some reason. He plays his best on the hardest courses. And he's another guy, you know, when he's got the flat stick together, he's a threat. When he doesn't, I mean, he really isn't. He's not even a threat for the weekend. So again, he's putting well. So again, not surprised to see him up on top of the leaderboard.
Respectfully, I got 1 minute. The defending champ Morikawa, I thought he played great. Bad break on that last hole, that bogey at nine, a little 3-footer, and he rimmed it. But other than that, he played great.
Yeah, he did play great. And just to go back to Koepka, I mean, Koepka had that double bogey, you know, on the open. You know, bad luck there. It's all about bad luck and a bad hole. That guy could be at 5-under or more as well. You know, Morikawa is another favorite. You know, he's got that. That cruise control. If Koepka has a high gear, Morikawa has cruise control. He just lets out hit it straight as a string every time, and nothing seems to bother him. If you're going to talk about a guy repeating, I mean, this is the guy who could definitely repeat. He's going to putt well. Every phase of his game is rock solid. So if he doesn't get a bad draw for the wind, bad tee time, that sort of thing, any bad breaks or weird lies, yeah, you could definitely see this guy on top of the leaderboard. He would be a very, very popular repeat champion. Everybody loves Colin.
All right, hey, so I got to run, but I don't know. If you want to do this again tomorrow night after round two, if you're available, we'll do it. If not, I can dig it. We'll maybe talk next week after it's over. Is your schedule open tomorrow?
Yeah, you had me at hello, man. Call me up.
All right, bro. I'll get a hold of you. Thanks, Michael. Good stuff tonight. Enjoy round two tomorrow on Friday.
Our goal is subtle,
but profound.
We want you,
Sporto,
to hold court at the company water cooler every Friday and Monday.
Get it?
That's the winning edge. All you gotta do is listen. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're in the third now. Vegas up 3-2 on Minnesota. The Wild were up 2-0 in this game. Blew it in the second period. Now they're in the third, down a goal, 2 minutes into the third. So they got 18 minutes to try to figure this out, tie it up, or they're going to lose this game. They were down 2-0 Vegas and scored the next three. And they've looked good doing it. Smith, the go-ahead goal, Riley Smith. So they have played great after being down 2-0. And you already know what happened tonight. Crazy night. Canadians on a shorthander beat the Leafs 2-1. And then the Panthers in overtime, they were down 5-3 in the third, and they won 6-5 in overtime. Unbelievable on a breakaway goal. And Lomberg scored it. No one's ever heard of him. Penguins win it 5-4 against the Islanders. Tanev was the winning goal. And in that game, you know, you name it, it had it all. That game had it all. It literally had it all. Fights, everything. And then when it was all said and done, in the first, Letang made it 1-0. Then Mayfield tied it 1-1. Carter made it 2-1 for the Penguins. Zucker made it 3-1 Penguins. In the third, Clutterbuck 3-2. Bevilier power play 3-3 after I thought a crappy call. I mean, I still have no clue. I guess it was the slash along the boards after the fight. But fair enough. You got him on a slash. He definitely slashed him. But I thought the penalties were all for the fight at the goal mouth. That's what I thought that was about. None of the extra stuff. Because you could have given Paul Mary five penalties on that fight. I don't care what anybody says. And then Carter made it 4-3. Clutterbuck scored again to make it 4-4. And then Tanev made it 5-4. And that was the winner at 16-24 from Aston Reese and Letang. So Tanev comes up big, and the Penguins lead that series 2-1. Panthers now down 2-1. Leafs up, or Canadians up 1-0 on the Leafs. And then this series is 1-1 with Vegas leading this game 3-2 with 16.5 minutes left in the game. In the NBA tonight, the Wizards 142-115. They blow out the Pacers in the elimination game. Winner take all, so the Wizards will play the Sixers. The Pacers are packing the glad bags. Their season ended after they beat the Hornets and got their ass beat tonight, just like they did basically to the Hornets. They got beat the same way tonight. Tomorrow, you've got the Grizzlies and Warriors. The Warriors are laying 4. Originally, it was 3.5. Now 4. Grizzlies at the Chase in San Francisco against Curry and Green and company. So I'm on the Warriors tomorrow. I think they're going to do the same thing that the Wizards did tonight. I think they're going to kick their ass. And listen, I know a lot of people think that game is going to be close with the Grizzlies because of Ja Morant, all the rest. I saw Ja Morant, like, melting down in that game the other night against the Spurs, missing free throws left and right. I don't think they're going to be able to – yeah, you know, I think he's a great player. I love him. I don't think that in the pressure of it all – I know last year they were in the same type of game. I don't think that matters. I mean, I'll give him experience matters. Fair enough. I don't think it matters when you're playing Steph Curry. I don't think it matters when you're playing Draymond Green. I think Draymond Green is painful. I think he's an asshat. But I recognize how great a player he is defensively. And passing the ball, he's also brilliant. It's amazing to me that big can actually, because he reminds me of like a big power forward, right? And I think that it's amazing to me how well he passes the ball. I mean, a guy constantly has double-figure passes. And he's just been phenomenal passing the rock. And the screens he sets and pick and rolls he runs with Curry are amazing. And I just think the Grizzlies are going to have problems with it. So I think that's going to be a load for the Grizzlies to win at the Warriors. I really do. It'll be a hostile crowd. That place is going to be rocking. The new Chase in San Francisco. Are you kidding me? Have fun. I don't think that's going to go well for them, but we'll see.
Yeah, they almost blew against the Spurs. I mean, they had that big lead. It looked like they were going to run away like Indy did the night before, where they were just going to run away, blow out the Spurs, have no problem. And then they had to sneak out, you know, the end there of that game because they blew that lead. That's not going to happen against the Warriors. You let the Warriors even take any control of that game, it's over, because you can't have Memphis hitting threes. Like, I mean, the Lakers hit a bunch of threes to come back in that game, played that great defense. because they are one of the top two or three teams in the league defensively. Memphis is not. They got a lot of good young talent. They got a lot of fast athletic guys. They don't have that defense yet.
Listen, I think I'm not going to argue with anybody that thinks they're a good team. I like them. I think they won. They were four games over 500, whatever. And I certainly think they can ball. I like Jackson back in that lineup. He had double figures the other night. Anderson can ball. He had 9, 6, and 2. I think Brooks had 24 in a game. Valanciunas had 23 rebounds and 23 points. He's a freak. He's going to be a problem for the Warriors and Green for sure. He's a monster. And he plays 38, 40 minutes. And then Moran had 20. But I don't think he shot the ball well. 8 of 20, and then he was 2 of 5 from downtown, and he was, I think, 2 of 5 from the line, something like that. I could tell you exactly what he was from the line. 2 of 6. I knew it was something like that. So, Grayson Allen the other night, no points. I don't like their bench at all. They have to go, literally, their bench is pathetic. Tyus Jones, Bain, Melton. They had 14 points, the bench, in the game out of 100. So, I mean, literally 86 points by the starting five, right? I don't think they can beat the Warriors without somebody else producing. It can't just be, in my opinion, they cannot just go Morant, Brooks, Valanciunas, and Jackson and expect to win that game, because I think Curry's going to outscore him by himself. I think he's going to do whatever he wants. He's going to outscore all those guys by himself, and then that's just him putting up 35 or 40. You know he's going to have at least 30 points in the game.
Oh, yeah.
At least. He had 37 the other night. What do you guess Curry puts on? He's got to be gassed a little bit. Does he put up – do you think he puts up 35, 40? Are you willing to give him a 40-piece against the Grizzlies in this?
I mean, he scored 37 against the Lakers, who were literally throwing everyone at him. I mean, there were times LeBron was coming on the help, and he was still draining threes over him, or that one right before the half where he just, like, zooms in and out of everybody all from, half court all the way through to the other side of the court and then just nails the three like it's nothing. He's going to have his way with them at times. And I think that, I'll give credit. I said that they don't have, the defense in Memphis. I'll give credit to the Golden State, because I thought that first half, their defense was awesome, especially your boy Wiggins was making LeBron, be all over the place with his shots. He was 1 of 7 to start. You had Anthony Davis was 2 of 12 to start. I think you're going to put, Wiggins on that, on Brooks, and slow him down a little bit. And, have to have that. And like you said, Green's going to have to guard Valanciunas. So these other guys, Morant's going to have a bigger game than he did last game, because those guys, I'm not going to say they're going to get shut down, but they're not going to do what they did last game against San Antonio.
Yeah, I don't think so. First of all, they had a big lead. They were up 19 on the Spurs, and they barely beat them. They beat them by 4, and it was a 2-point game. They were up 2 late in that game. The Spurs came all the way back. All right, so we'll see what happens tomorrow night. That game starts at 9 East and 6 San Francisco time in the Chase. All right, so baseball. The Dodgers are up 2-0 on the Diamondbacks at Chavez Ravine. Runner at second, one out, and the top of the 6 for the D-backs. And they're down 2 runs to the Dodgers. The Yankees beat the Rangers again today, 2-0. 2 straight 2-0 wins for the Yankees over the Rangers. The other game, Corey Kluber threw a no-hitter against them at Globe Life. And today, Herman had him eating out of his palms for 7 innings. Yankees win it 2-0. Urshela had the winning hit. He drove in the winning run. They got a couple runs late. They scratched across in like the 7th or 8th, and that was it. Pirates in 10 innings beat the Braves 6-4 in Hot Town. I can't even believe the Pirates won a game. It's been so long after the Cardinals just beat their ass. The Red Sox won in Dunedin again. Beat them last night. Beat them again tonight, 8-7. During the day, the Giants 19-4 over the Reds. The Giants are 12 games over 500. They mean business. I mean to tell you, the Rays have been on fire. They beat the Orioles 10-1 at Camden, and they are smoking right now. Cubs beat the Nationals 5-2. Astros doubled up the A's 8-4. The Twins and Angels split 2. Game 1, Angels won it 7-1. Game 2, Twins 6-3. I hit both ends of that doubleheader for you. And the Marlins beat the Phillies in Philadelphia 6-0. I was a little surprised at that, to be honest with you, that the Marlins shut out the Phillies in Philadelphia. That's what stunned me. Right now, Boston by a game over Tampa. The Yankees are 1.5 out. Toronto 2.5 out. Baltimore 9 out in last. In the Central, the White Sox 10 games over 500 with a 2.5 game lead over the Indians. Kansas City 6 back. In the West, Houston by a half game over the A's. They're 8 games over 500, and they've been playing good ball. They've won 8 of 10, the Astros. The Mets lead the NL East by a game and a half over Philly. The Mets have won 6 of 10. Miami's 3 back in third. Braves 3.5 out. Washington in last 4.5 out. Cards lead the Central. They're impressive, 25-18, 3 games over the Cubs. Cardinals have been hot. They won 2, 6 of 10. And then you talk about hot. San Francisco's won 5 in a row, 8 of 10. They lead San Diego by a game, Dodgers by 2.5. The Padres have won 6 in a row and 9 of 10. The Dodgers up now and looking for their 4th straight win. They've won 8 of 10. And that 3 racehorse right there, that San Francisco, San Diego, L.A. Dodgers, that is some fantastic baseball going on out in California these days. That division, I had Bob Nightingale on from the USA Today on Coast to Coast today. He's like, you might get both wild cards out of that division. I mean, that is just absolutely crazy. Mafia is excited because Fury and Wilder have agreed to fight on July 24th in Las Vegas. One of the problems I'm having with that, Mafia, is that I'm going on vacation on the 23rd of July, which is a Friday. So I don't know how that's going to work out. Not well. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to Cali, son. I got no time or no stop, drive through in Vegas to see those two bums fight again. I've already seen them fight twice. It's Pharrell on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
Pablo Escobar with the home run for the Diamondbacks to deep right center with the Marte Parte on board. And it's tied up with the D-backs with a bomb at Chavez Ravine. 2-2, top of the sixth. They got two outs. They still have a runner on. And the Diamondbacks have tied it up on the Escobar home run. By the way, the Vegas Golden Knights are on a power play right now with 8 minutes left in the game. And they already are winning 3-2 at the XL in Minneapolis in a series that's tied 1-1. Vegas trying to seal the deal. And if they score here on this man advantage, which they've got another minute 10 on, if they score here, you can hear the fat lady singing in the corner. Lights out. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. Good night, Irene. We'll see if they can get it done here. And then, yeah, July 24th is a Saturday in Vegas at Allegiant. They're going to have that fight in Sin City at the Raiders' new stadium. Mavi, I wonder if we'll be able to go to the new nightclub at Allegiant and see some strippers.
Only if they have popcorn there. That's the only way you're going to go in.
Oh, I love the popcorn. It's fantastic. And the strippers.
We'll have to see if it's as good as Jerry's that. World.
Oh, Jerry's World popcorn was top shelf. And they have great fights there. They just had
bucket you got to keep.
Right. And then they just had the Canelo fight there. So that's a great place for fights. I think Allegiant in Vegas would be a great place for that fight. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there and to see if he actually does knock him out again. He beat the crap out of him in that second fight. All right. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 Eastern on Coast to Coast. They still haven't scored. 24 seconds left on the power play. It's 3-2 Vegas on the Twins, on the Wild. Good night.